Welcome, everyone. If we could find a seat and get started. So I'm Andrew Riddle, Certec Services Manager, and today we are going to be discussing the scoring methodology and project readiness approach for municipal Certec's projects. Here's the agenda for today's meeting. First, we'll start out an overview with the roles and responsibilities of the MPO regarding to Certec's. Then we'll go over the scoring methodology and project readiness approach. And Carrie McNeil will go over the schedule and next steps. And we'll wrap up with any questions that you may have. As a reminder, the ILA requires Certec staff to brief the MPO board twice a year and its advisory committees four times a year on the status of the MPO's Certec's work. The ILA does not require any action by the MPO board or advisory committees on the Certec's efforts. The MPO has been tasked to review, rank, and program municipal projects that are eligible for local Certec funding. We completed the reviews and mapping of all projects, and now we are in the ranking process, which is an iterative process, and we are aiming to deliver the cycle one projects of recommended municipal projects to the county by March 1st. The ranking and programming process has three factors of emphasis. The first two, alleviating congestion and enhancing connectivity, is how each project will be evaluated. After the projects have been ranked, projects will be reviewed for program readiness, and that includes also shovel readiness. Now, scoring methodology. There are three steps in the scoring methodology. The first step is establish the project location. When we first got the projects, they were all points. And through our online submittal tool, the city staff provided to and from locations for each of the projects. Those descriptions were incorporated into the digitized projects for each location into a GIS buffer map. Step two, we collected project details. So through our one-on-one meetings, we collected information about each project, and we incorporated those information into the geodatabase. And some of the project attributes that we found through these meetings include the project work mix, the project phases, which is the planning, design, right-of-way, and construction, the design stage, and also the project status. So some of the cities asked that some of the projects be put on hold for various reasons. Other cities asked that some of the projects need to be ranked because they may have been already completed, or they're underway, or they're no longer relevant. And those will be considered in February of 2021. But just to let you know that all projects that were submitted will be ranked. Step three is the project ranking test runs. So all the attributes that we collected will be brought into the GIS ranking tool, and the ranking criteria that we established in the October workshop will be used in this ranking tool to develop point scale scenarios. Now, we are in the process of performing iterative processes of multiple point scales, point scenarios, so that we can evaluate test runs. So here are the point distributions as they relate to the ranking criteria. Higher points will be assigned to the criteria that relate to both ordinance factors of alleviating congestion and enhancing connectivity. And those are employment, population density, access to support to transit services, and incident delay. Roadway level service and connection to existing facilities only hit on one of the ordinance factors, and so they will be assigned medium range points. Resiliency and equity will get the lower range of the points. Now, project performance will be evaluated in future years, and those points will be assigned at that time. In addition to the criteria, we also will be assigning points for each work mix. Now, higher points will be assigned to capacity increases, sidewalks, bike lanes, and transit. Mid-range points will be assigned to intersection improvements and signals. Lower points will be assigned to landscape, resiliency, and fiber projects. Once the projects are ranked, there will be an evaluation for project for program readiness. In the interlocal agreement, there are 9 project readiness evaluation factors. For cycle 1, which is fiscal year 2020, all of the 9 factors except for resolution support will be reviewed in cycle 1. In future cycles, all the factors will be reviewed. And those that will be reviewed this year for cycle 2021, for cycle 2020, will be the detailed budget, project timeline, assessment of shovel readiness, which we'll discuss in just a second, right-of-way requirements, location of project, contact information, utility relocation and ownership, and other relevant information. So here's an example of the assessment of shovel readiness. During the project field review with the city staff, we may want to know if the city has designated a project manager to actually manage the project that's in the Surtax plan. We may also look at design plans as they relate to existing conditions, permitting. There may be some permitting obstacles that we may need to be aware of. And also, is the project biddable? So that concludes the approach to project readiness and also the scoring methodology. And Carrie will now go over the schedule and next steps.
Good afternoon, Carrie McNeil, Project Manager here at the MPO for Surtax Services. Okay, so we have the same schedule that we've been presenting recently. We are moving along on time. Right now we are finalizing, coming to completion of developing the ranking tool. And we are working on developing the list of program projects starting this month. And the blue dots represent taking this list of program projects to both the MPO board and the TAC and CAC in the month of February 2020. Right now, as you can see on the dotted line, the purple-pink circle is a stakeholder engagement, which is today's meeting. And then jumping down to field visits, we'll be reviewing projects we have started contacting and coordinating with the municipalities for the review of the potential shovel-ready projects. And then, of course, delivering the program list to the county for Cycle 1 on March 1st, 2020. Okay, so the Cycle 1, or Fiscal Year 2020 county funding timeline, beginning on January 9th, the county has indicated that they are going to hold a municipal surtax projects workshop that goes over the funding agreement approach, performance measures, and rehab and maintenance project prioritization approach. So when we get more information on that workshop, I'd be glad to share it with you. March 1st, 2020, of course, the MPO will deliver the program list to the county staff. And then on the 26th, the Cycle 1 surtax projects are presented to the surtax oversight board. April 2020 is the county supplemental budget resolution to include the Cycle 1 municipal surtax projects into the fiscal year 2020 budget. And then the Cycle 1 projects will launch immediately following the April supplemental budget resolution. The next steps are finalizing the ranking process, scheduling and conducting field reviews, finalizing the ranked list, and preparing the Cycle 1 program of recommended municipal projects. So as Andrew mentioned earlier, we've been digitizing the projects that have specific project limits. And these projects have been posted to our website, and I'm just going to show you how to access these and view them on our website. So you can start, actually, I'll go from the beginning. On the homepage, there's a couple ways to get to the surtax page. You can go down here to read more, and then click here right under the Mobility Advancement Program logo. Okay, and on the left-hand side, under documents, scroll down below the picture, and starting with project maps, you'll see each city in alphabetical order. Each city is a hyperlink. You can click on your city to view your maps of your individual projects. So I'll just go to the first one, which is Coconut Creek. Okay, so you'll see a PDF. It's one PDF with all the projects that were able to be digitized. You can find information down here. There's a key that shows all the different segments and their colors and the project ID numbers that are associated with those. work mix, primary work mix, secondary work mix, project description, and project scope. And then the to and from is right here in the bottom right-hand corner of the map. So each map will have, it can have several projects on the map, but in the upper left-hand corner, we have each map labeled with the project that is in focus on this map. And then, so as you're going through the maps, if you notice that some projects are missing, they might be included here. This very first hyperlink under project maps is called area-wide project list. If you click here, there's a table of any of the projects that we were not provided specific project limits, and so they are considered area-wide, and they were not able to be digitized in this cycle. So if you're looking for something not on your maps, come to this page, and you should be able to find it here. If you have any questions or any concerns about your projects, you can give me a call or email me, and I'd be happy to address your questions. But we are, moving forward with the process. So if you have any questions, please direct them to me as soon as possible. Okay, and that's it for this portion of the presentation. If you have any questions, Andrew and I are here to answer them.
Hey, Christine.
I'm sorry, you mentioned Shovel Ready will be announced as part of Cycle 1, but we gave you projects that need planning or design or are ready for construction. Can you clarify what's going to be in Cycle 1?
Correct. So for Cycle 1, it has been indicated to us that we would like to get all the construction ready projects funded first. And of course, with that understanding, there will be funds available to start looking at the design and some of the planning also. But construction, kind of, let's wipe those out. Let's not let them sit there and wait. Let's try and get those moving along. And then we'll start looking at the design, the planning, the design ones, and start allocating starting some of those projects in first cycle and then continuing on to the 5-year plan that happens in October. So we're creating a graphic that helps visualize the different cycles. We're still tweaking it a little bit so that it's more reader friendly, but it'll help you visualize cycle one is 2020. Cycle two is the 5-year plan, which is fiscal year 21, 22, 23, and 24, and 25, okay? But with that said, if we go out and do all those field reviews on those construction-ready projects and some of the projects really aren't construction-ready, that means that those funds really could be allocated to a planning or a design project that needs to get moving, that's top ranked and needs to get moving on.
I have a question while I have the mic in my hand.
Hey, Karen.
Schedule, Carrie, that you showed, so the MPO board will see the prioritized list before staff level will? Is that correct?
So what we're going to be showing is the recommended cycle one list of projects that we're going to be forwarding to the county. So in February, it's going to be those recommended program of projects for municipal projects in February, because that's what's going to the oversight board in March.
I understand. Generally, the TAC will see it first and then be able to brief our commissioners on the board on what's in there.
We wanted it that way, and you have a good eye. So those, we used to have the dots for the TAC over in January. We're still going through those iterative, process of trying to get that ranked list together. And we're trying to build some time to make sure that we do it thoroughly and, there's no kind of glitches, which we've had some glitches, and we want to work through those glitches and make sure that everything is set, ready to go. And I think it might be premature for us to show you something in January where we might say, oops, and we have to tweak it a little bit for February. So yes, you would be seeing it after the MPO board.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Paul. Right, that's right. So January, we originally had the blue dot, this right here, this TAC was in January, but we moved it to February, which is after the MPO board meeting in February, because remember, the MPO board doesn't meet in January. So really, it's in a different sequence that I prefer. I usually like to see it go first to the TAC, and CAC, and then it goes to the board. But you know, we can take your comments and your concerns about that and talk internally on approach, but really this is the only way that we feel like we're comfortable presenting the final program of projects to the county. Yes, ma'am.
It's just a presentation to both the appeal board and the TAC. They can't vote, right?
No, ma'am. That's exactly right. It would be an informational item.
Yes.
That's correct.
Said they go to the board in March after field meetings. So can you talk about the timing of the funding and who the funding would be appropriated to? Does it come to the city as a grant?
So the funding, actually, this is the county funding timeline. So like we were stating, is in March, the MPO is obligated by our ILA, our contract, to deliver the program list of projects to the county staff. In March 26, Cycle 1 Certax projects are presented to the Certax Independent Oversight Board. In April, there is a supplemental budget resolution that the county has in every April, and they will be bringing the Certax Oversight Board recommendation to their budget workshop, or I guess it would be an approval, not just a workshop, it would be actually a Board of County Commission meeting to approve the supplemental budget resolution to include the Cycle 1 fiscal year 2020 projects. And then, as soon as those are funded, you can start your project.
Does the money come directly
to the city? Yeah, so those things will be worked out at the January 9th workshop that the county is hosting. The contractual timelines, the you know, all the information that you would need to know about your contracts, that'll be at the January 9th. So please hold that date. January 9th. I think that the county will be sending out some invites very soon, but that will go spell out pretty much the contractual, you know, requirements for getting those funds.
Because the worry is we won't have the resources and time to launch in April. We don't know how many projects, how much the projects are worth. Does that make sense?
So let's say we win 3 projects. I don't
right.
know. We need 3 project managers. We need to be able to have the procurement time to get those out to bid. You know, anyway, so I need to be set up for success. So if you're saying launch in May, then...
In my opinion, that if we kind of indicated to you that, hey, your project is being forwarded to the oversight board, you can go ahead and start your procurement process then. Just don't issue that notice to proceed until you actually get those funds.
I don't know that our procurement will go for that.
Oh, really?
I trust. And then you have on the last bullet 5, there it says ILA for project funding. So we'll have to execute individual ILAs for those? Because that'll add like 3 months onto that timeline between cities and counties agreeing on ILAs and approving. Or is that going to be done
before? I believe it will be spelled out in the January 9th meeting on what it will be expected in this ILA for project funding, because we really would like for you to be going to your city commission and getting your ILAs all solidified prior to March, if possible, maybe into April, because then...
So are those drafted already, or...?
I'm not quite sure. Gretchen is saying no, they're not. but they will be. but those are very good questions, and we're all working very hard to... I'm telling you, the county and the MPO are working very hard to get this program set up and working right.
What is the estimated time frame we're going to have when we receive an ILA to take it to our commission for approval? It sounds like it's very minimal, and we have processes with our municipal attorneys and publication dates and notification and such.
Is there any way that you can maybe put a placeholder
in order to do a placeholder, we have to have some level of understanding. I can't go and ask for a placeholder with no level of understanding.
Okay, so I'm going to give these poor folks a break, because I'm Gretchen Cassini, and I can talk to you a little bit about the county processes, and I don't want to put them in the position of having to answer these questions about our processes. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to try to respond to the questions that I've heard. So the whole idea of doing the January 9th workshop, as Angie was mentioning, is so that city legal representatives have an opportunity to talk to our county legal representative, who's Angela Wallace, she's the Surtax General Counsel, about the elements of the contracts. Now, she's not here, and I hate speaking for other people, but I did talk to her this morning, and the plan is that we would have standard form agreements in categories, okay? So the standard form agreements would be based on project types. And the project types are being gathered up and looked at based on expected impacts, expected performance measures, so that like things are together and we're all collecting data that's consistent. So county projects and municipal projects that are, let's say, capacity expansion will all have the same performance measures. So that's very important as far as doing dashboards and communicating with the public. We're working on this right now. It's not done by any stretch of the imagination, because it's a conversation. So we need to have the conversations with you, and the January 9th workshop is an opportunity for Bertha Henry, the county administrator, for city managers, city legal, to come together and have conversations about what approach works best and whether or not these standard form agreements will work, and whether or not the performance measures, because we have hundreds of them that we're looking at in a variety of categories, are things that you all can agree to, okay? So that's January 9th. The idea is that we would have all of that, we would have your feedback, and we would incorporate all of that feedback. We also have to take it to the oversight board on January 30th. Okay, so those performance measures and these contractual approaches have to go to the oversight board on January 30th. So we're gonna get their feedback. We're be getting your feedback. I'm sure we'll be getting MPO feedback. And that's great. I want all the feedback I can get. FDOT also. And then we'd like to have everything finalized by the time that MPO Surtax funded staff send over the recommendations on March 1st. We'd like to know what the contracts are gonna look like and what the performance measures are that we can all agree to. I mean, optimally, it would be mid-February, optimally, but I know that that's difficult. You know, 6 weeks turnaround is not, you know, again, we want to give you all time to look at it, time to ruminate, have conversations with your elected officials if you need to, all of those types of things. But optimally, we'd have the contracts and the performance measures by category, standard form, done March 1st. And then you all would have until the end of April to execute. So 8 weeks. Again, this is assuming that we don't have any natural disasters, emergencies. So, I mean, this is very optimistic, but this is our goal. This is what we're working towards. All right? Yes, ma'am.
Will we have the standard forms prior to January 9th so that they can...
No. The standard form discussion, Angela's working on developing the standard forms based on categories of projects that we're still actually evaluating.
I understand. I'm asking these questions because I'm going to be asked these questions. So I know. Can report back. So, are they going to be expected to give on the spot feedback, or are they going to have time to review it?
That's what I just said. So you're going to have the opportunity to review it until March 1st. So from January 9th until March 1st. That's the goal. So everybody can look at the performance measures. Everyone can look at the actual contracts and provide feedback. And then we need to have that finalized so that you have enough time to take action and execute the contracts. Now, not all of you are going to have contracts because not everyone is going to get a project in the first cycle. There are going to be very few projects in the first cycle. So it won't be 30 municipalities having to get, you know, 3 and 4 different contracts signed, like it will be when we have to do the 5-year plan.
Do you have a date then? When will it be? March 1st or whenever the county meets, will they at some point approve this agreement to go to the cities? Do you anticipate what that date would be?
They have to.
Right.
It will, again, I don't want to start giving out dates because it's going to depend on how much feedback we're receiving from municipalities, right? And it will also depend on feedback that we get from the oversight board. But again, our board will need to take, when I say we need to have the contracts finalized and the performance measures finalized, what I mean by that is we have to have all agreed to it, and my board has to have acted on those standard forms.
Right. So March 1st, that's the date the MPO would deliver the projects to,
right,
to the county. And then at some point in March, perhaps, the county would approve this agreement. There would be, it won't be 8 weeks by the end of April. It's going to be sometime in March. And then after that, once the county approves it, it'll go to the cities. So they would have less than 8 weeks, or if you want it by the end of April.
Well, again,
conceptually,
optimally, we might know, based on what I'm seeing here today, we might know which projects are being recommended for funding before March 1st.
Yeah.
So we would be having conversations with the municipalities that are being recommended for funding as soon as we know, so that the ones that are being recommended for funding, we can make sure we've got their feedback and their input and that we're good to go. If we know what project types we're dealing with, we can kind of focus our efforts on those particular project categories, and perhaps my board would be able to take action before March 1st. But there are, you know, there are a lot of things out of my control, so I don't want to start giving you dates that, you know, and then I can't manage your expectations.
Right, we're all in a similar situation.
Exactly.
We're all working to get it done in a short amount of time. Just to follow up is that then the second cycle, there will be new agreements with this idea of getting some planning and design work done, and that will, you probably can't give us any dates on that either, but sometime before October 1, we would be setting up.
No, I can, because the 5-year plan is due in July 1st of 2020. So the 5-year plan is where we're going to start doing planning and funding long-term agreements that have multiple phases, perhaps planning and design. And construction. Again, these are all things that we're still ruminating on, but those contracts, everything's going to be happening simultaneously. There's, you know, these are all things that are being done at the same time. So while we're executing agreements for fiscal year 20 with municipalities, we're going to still be working with all the municipalities that didn't get cycle one to make sure their contracts look good and are where they need to be, so that when we get the 5-year plan, everyone can go ahead and start executing these agreements very quickly, because we would like to have them all in place by October 1st. And many people take breaks over the summer, so you're still only looking at maybe, you know, an 8, 10, 12 week in some instances time frame to get the contracts executed.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So everyone will know on July 1st of 2020 what projects they are expected to have funded in the 5-year plan, so that we can start working on those agreements together. I hope that makes sense. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting to answer any questions today,
Gretchen,
I'm sorry.
This isn't necessarily for you then, but in terms of the 5-year, one of the first slides you had February 2021 21, and that was when you showed it as a swap, you know, when you'd start the swaps, and which would mean once the five-year plan is approved in 2020, starting funding in October of 2020, then in the following 2021, that's when it starts getting more flexible with our project.
Right, we will not accept any swap or new projects until after February 2021.
Right, so after the five-year program has been established.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right, because the five-year will be adopted in September of 2020.
So the five-year program is being developed based on what we've
already submitted. Based on what we've submitted and how you've established where it's at in the process. It's either planning, design, or construction ready, something like that. So
yes,
we'll.
Sir. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Quick question. You had mentioned site visits. Could you tell us when you're planning on doing that and how that process is going to work? Just so my engineers. Get ahead.
So we actually have started site visits. We're trying to get them all completed within December, but I know there's a lot of holidays and trying to schedule with city staff to actually participate in those site visits. So we might have to reach into January, but we're aiming for December. Of course, you know, we will have to probably look into first part of January with those site visits. And those are for the kind of the top ranked projects and just so that everyone understands, it's the construction ready, the shovel ready ones get high priority because we want to make sure that we can get those construction ready projects out of the way and so that they're not hanging out in the fifth year or whatever, so that we can get those out of the way, and then we can start focusing on the planning and design projects and start developing that five-year plan. Yes, ma'am.
So does that mean all the shovel-ready projects cities have already been notified?
They have not.
Okay.
No.
Can we find out who they are?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That'd be nice.
We do have a preliminary list. We're just doing a little QAQC right now to make sure that, you know, the documents that we asked for at our one-on-one meetings are the documents that we felt for construction-ready projects. Like, we asked for design. What level of design, 30, 60, 90, 100. So we're still looking at all the construction-ready projects that the city has told us, yes, they're ready to go, they're construction-ready, and kind of validating based on the supporting documents that we received from the cities, and then using those that information and going ahead and moving forward with scheduling those field reviews. Because if someone was ambitious and said something maybe out of line or by mistake, or they thought that it was construction ready at the meeting, and then we figured out, oh, it was just a concept plan, or if it was just a sketch drawing of what they would like to see, that's not really what we're looking for shovel readiness. It's actually construction design.
Are you having conversations with the cities if you're finding that what was stated doesn't appear to be what you're looking at? Are you going back to the cities to clarify that, or are you just making a decision based on what you see?
No, we're using the information that we received from the cities. So all of the information that we received from the cities have now been sent back to all the cities. The cities reviewed all the notes, and they have verified that the notes are correct, and they provided these follow-up and action items. And so we're not really collecting any more information from the cities. So what we have is what we're going to be using going forward, because there's really no time, really. We're on a tight, you know, deadline to get this wrapped up by March 1st. Hey, Paul. Sure.
I got a couple of them. So earlier, I thought you'd mentioned that this cycle one is going to identify constructability projects, but there may be extra money in that cycle 1 year, and that there may be some money available for planning and design. Is that going to be, so we'll know this summer, or we'll know, maybe Gretchen answered this, but we'll know prior to, we'll be able to spend any money prior to October 1st, probably not, on planning and design for these projects that are almost constructible?
Absolutely correct. So say there's 100 projects that you all, whenever we sat down with the cities, said are construction ready. But whenever we started looking through the construction documents, we did field reviews, it went down to like, say, 50. That obviously is going to be freeing up some money to go and look at the top ranked design, planning projects, and start going to allocate the funds to start programming some of those planning and design projects.
Okay. Second question. January 9th meeting. Seems like a big meeting here. But you had mentioned earlier that the rehab and maintenance, which is a third leg of this surtax, that is being implemented by Broward County.
Yes, sir.
So you anticipate that's going to be another part of that meeting? Is they're going to describe and tell and let the municipalities know how they're going to handle that money, when it is available, or if it will be available, and what they're going to be the criteria for releasing that kind of money to the money so, to the cities?
Yes, I'm getting a heads up. Yes, from Gretchen. So, and that was my impression too. So, thanks, Gretchen.
Any other questions?
Any other questions? And you know, I really appreciate the feedback. You guys have been amazing. The city staff has been very responsive. So kudos to all that you, I mean, every time we reach out to you, it seems like you're instantly, you know, responding to our emails and trying to get us the information that we need to get this program ready to go on a short time frame. So really, from the whole Surtax team, we really, really do appreciate your hard work on y'all's side too. Any other questions on anything else? Sure. So so Stefano is going to be one of our lead engineers that will be doing the site reviews, and we're kind of developing a checklist, but I think he's going to reach out to you first in an email and just say, okay, I've done a desk review of your project, and here are some of the things that we want to look at, or if you can provide ahead of time. But I don't want to speak for Stefano, but that's kind of what I've been seeing.
Hi, everybody. Stefano Viola. I'll be reaching out to every city individually, starting with the phone call. I've already started reaching out, setting up the projects that we are reviewing. We're not reviewing all of the projects you submitted. There is a list, and when I reach out to you, I will give you a heads up. These are the projects I want to talk about. If it can be done with a conference call, I'll ask you to invite the people that are that project-specific knowledgeable, so that we get on a conference call. If it requires a site visit, then we'll schedule a site visit again with the people that are knowledgeable onto that project. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot when I speak to you. I'm going to give you some knowledge, and we're going to kind of work through it. But it will start with a phone call, and if I can't get a hold of anybody, then it'll be an email, and we'll just continue until we get it all done through all the projects. So, and then the checklist, there is a checklist, but it's somewhat moving based on the project. So I don't want to say it's a hard, fast, exact project checklist, because the projects that you submitted are kind of across the board, but we will dive in and just get a better understanding of the projects that the cities are deeming construction ready and how they're shovel ready. And then the timing, permitting, just everything that Andrew has shown, we're going to kind of go through that individually on the projects you have identified as construction ready. Hopefully that answers it.
Questions? I think you've hit your limit. No. No.
So, in the meantime, this is a fluid process. Things never stop. Cities continue to anticipate the money that's coming in. There's other funding sources available, of course, that have different time frames, and we look at all those. We would like to have reimbursement of design and planning and that planning and design, of course. But we will do this on our own. I guess the question comes down to, we need to continue doing this and add projects. In other words, we got projects on the list that haven't begun design. You know, should we wait? Because they're not gonna come up in this first round. Or should we begin designing projects or beginning planning the projects and hoping to get it into that five-year plan?
And you know, that is entirely up to the city's approach. I don't feel like really it's part of our, I don't want to direct you in any type of way.
Andrew, I would just maybe offer some bit of advice for, a lot of cities, we have a lot of area-wide projects, or if your project doesn't have specific limits, if you weren't able to provide us this first time around, a project location map or some specific details. So I would say if it's, still in that very basic, stage, very basic level, and you want to keep that project on the list and you don't want to swap it out, and you want to work on, at least working on developing the scope, that makes it easier for us to put into the ranking tool and have a better idea of the characteristics of the project.
But if you already have a planning project in place and it's already funded, there's no penalty for you to go ahead and move forward with that, and even with the design. So if you want to go ahead and move forward on design that's already in your existing budget, move forward with it. And then you'll be ready for construction dollars instead of planning, design, and construction. So I think it is something that you might need to look at now that you know the criteria, the inner workings of this process that we've developed. You might want to go back and figure out what is the best way to actually implement that project.
Spend now before we would know we would ever get reimbursed for it.
Oh, you're not going to get reimbursed for it until you actually have that contract with the county. So, but in the five-year plan, if your project is, say, in the fourth year of that five-year plan, you can go ahead and start working on your project in year one, but you won't be reimbursed for that project until year four. So that gives you the five-year plan gives you some certain level of certainty. No, come on, Christine, come on. You guys are racing, yeah. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Can you just talk a little bit about the swap?
Can you talk a little bit about the swap that was on one of the other slides? How that
right.
Would work?
So swaps are basically, as long as there's no net financial impact, you will be able to swap that project for a different project as long as there's no net financial impact. And that'll begin in February 2021. We will not accept anything before February 2021. So if you have identified a project that you already constructed through your a bond or some other way, through CSLIP, another mechanism, and you still have it in your plan, and you've indicated to us that, hey, we've already done this project, we need to swap it. And you can, unfortunately, wait until February 2021 to swap that project, as long as there's no net financial impact to the overall plan. And then those projects and any new projects will be put through the ranking process, and then you'll actually get a ranking. And if you're based on your program or shovel readiness, that's how you'll be funded.
Thank you. Is there a maximum project per municipality to be awarded? I'm talking about shovel-ready projects. Let's say Municipality X submitted 3 projects that are shovel-ready, Municipality Y submitted 0. Is he going to get all 3, even though they are shovel-ready, or just 1 or 2?
So for the Cycle 1, which is the fiscal year 2020 projects, we're trying to get all of the construction ready projects out of the way. So if a project multiple projects are within one city, you know, then yes, that potentially could be the result. But we do understand that a distribution among all the cities is very important, and we don't want to especially load up one city to have a lot of projects, and especially in the ranking, and in pretty much fund the whole 5-year plan. That's not our intent at all. So those are very good questions. They're more like policy questions that we need to establish. But we do want to spread the wealth among all the cities so that everyone is getting a fair share of projects. And also keep in mind, though, there's also the maintenance and rehab projects, because in the 5-year plan, there will be not only the MPO's municipal projects, but there also will be the maintenance and rehab projects that will be part of the overall budget that the County Commission will be approving in September. So just because maybe you might not get any capacity projects in fiscal year 1, you might get also some maintenance and rehab projects in year 1. If that helps.
A little bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
These are good questions, though, because we're all kind of, you know, working through all these, too, because these are the same kind of questions that we've been trying to work through. Any other questions? No one in this back corner? Oh, there we go. Everyone wants to get out, I guess. It's 4:30.
Okay, as it relates to the Cycle 1 projects, has it been determined yet if the amount of the municipal submissions equals or exceeds the forecast on revenue projections for the budget allotment towards the Cycle 1 projects? That's an important factor because right now you're going through the Cycle 1 determination, and it would be nice if we knew if there was available funds over and above present submissions, please?
That is a very, very good question. So at this point, we're still in that ranking and doing those iterative process of programming project or ranking projects. The next step would be programming, and that's whenever we really get to the dollars and actually seeing, okay, these projects are ready to go, and based on the financial plan from the surtax plan, how much money will those projects that are ready to go, how much will those, you know, eat away at that dollar amount, and what will be left over? And how do we treat that leftover? Do we, you know, go into funding some of the planning and design and breaking out that over the next 5 years? So it is a the programming piece, which we have not started yet, will be kind of exciting to do, and we'll definitely take in that type of thought process and consideration into that programming process and how we allocate those funds that have been identified in the financial plan. Yes.
Thank you. Talking a little bit about the maintenance and rehab projects, is that process going to be discussed at the January 9th meeting? Because it seems like that meeting is going to be just for the legal teams from both the municipalities and the county to come to understandings on the MPO municipal surtax ranking agreements. When is that process going to start for the ranking of those rehab and maintenance projects?
That is a very good question. I believe oh, is it on the agenda, Gretchen? Okay, I'm sorry. That process will be discussed at the January 9th meeting. I'm sorry. Yeah.
We're recording the meeting, okay.
So in the ranking, meaning you're assigning points, you know, to see, you know, which one will get the highest rank or the lowest rank. So if there is a tie between a couple of cities or between cities, how would you break the tie?
So we have been looking at that. So one of the things is there's different phases, and there's also different statuses. So, you know, as we go through those ties, if something is in the construction or the planning phase or design phase, they're really not part of the tie because they're in different phases. Now, we also feel that there could be potential to look at, okay, City X has gotten this many projects, and City Y has had maybe a few. So maybe there's a way for us to break some of those ties for, you know, an equal distribution of those funds among the cities. So there, I think there's many approaches that we've actually have kind of expert knowledge on the federal and state side with CSLIP that we're going to also apply on the surtax for those ties. But yes, that's a very good question, and we have been working through those type of scenarios as part of our test runs.
Okay. Last question. Will the cities be allowed to protest any ranking?
From what I understand, that once the program of recommended projects go to the oversight board, there will be an appeal process during that period. And I guess from what I understand that it could go back to the MPO Certec staff to reevaluate and maybe give a full explanation of why certain things were programmed accordingly. But you know, I'm sure there's going to be multiple opportunities to voice your concerns. And you know, I think we've talked to every single one of our cities throughout this process, and to make sure that their pet projects are their number one projects are number one. But unfortunately, in the ILA, it's a data-driven process. We really don't want to get too much hands involved to make one project higher, even though a municipality feels that it is better than everyone else's. So we want to stick to the objective data-driven process.
This ranking criteria, is it going to go across for 5 years, or next year, next cycle, we're going to have a new ranking?
Right. So this first cycle is for fiscal year 2020, which is what we're in right now. Okay. And there's going to be a budget supplemental resolution in April, which will incorporate those recommended fiscal year 2020 projects, kind of those shovel-ready projects. Now, in the fall, we'll be developing the five-year plan. And that five-year plan kind of gives you certainty over the next 5 years, starting in fiscal year 2021. That'll be the first year of the county's new budget cycle, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Okay? So you'll have some certainty in those years on projects that will be funded. Now, going forward, every single year we'll be adding new projects and swapping projects, and this will happen in February, starting in February of 2021, and that will be repeated every single year going on for the next 28 years. And so there's a continuous cycle of new projects, swap outs, and reevaluating projects and creating a new ranked list for them to be programmed and sent to the oversight board and then ultimately to the city county commission for final adoption and into their budget.
Is there a likelihood of one municipality going to 2-3 cycle without one project being awarded?
I'm sorry.
Is there a likelihood of one municipality going to 2-3 cycles without one project, at least minimum, being awarded to the cycle?
So you're saying,
is there a provision to prevent that from happening? Let's say one municipality not getting anything for 2 or 3 cycles.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. So if there's one municipality that's never in any of the five-year plans. I really seriously doubt that's going to happen, but if it does, I think that's whenever we might need to reevaluate our tool, which we're going to be doing every year. We're going to be monitoring and kind of doing a performance evaluation of the tool, and if there's any kind of tweaking that we need to be made, we'll be reevaluating them so that, you know, every municipality will have an opportunity to have projects in the plan for funding.
Just to add on that, it also depends on whether we're receiving projects from the cities that are well defined, and we can actually, you know, put them in the ranking tool. So that's something to consider, that the better, you know, quality information we get from you, you know, the more we can do with it. So.
Right, so that's kind of going back to those area-wides. You know, we really need to have a to and from location so that it can be put into the ranking tool. Because if it's just a area-wide, your whole city, that's not going to help us really with the ranking tool, because there's nothing to rank. It's just the whole entire city. But if you can break up your projects into discrete segments, that'll help you get scores based on the geographical attributes of that surrounding that segment of improvement. Please feel free if you want to talk to us one-on-one on that, and we can give you kind of more scenarios on examples on how that all works. Because I know it's kind of a lot to take in. So we do have some projects that do intersect, but if they're the same work mix, yes, it's basically they're going to get the same score. But if they're different work mixes, then they would get different scores. So say you're going to, on the same corridor, you're going to do some intersection improvements. And a piece of that corridor, you're also going to do a road widening. Those would get different scores based on the work mix. Or if you're just going to do landscaping, say you're going to, you know, widen a project but do no landscaping, well, landscaping, of course, gets lower points because it's not really alleviating congestion and enhancing connectivity, whereas the road widening or the new road that you're building would increase connectivity and improving congestion, potentially.
The funding can be assigned to both cities at the same time? Because
yes.
Okay, yes. That makes sense. Thank you.
Heidi's back there.
I just wanted to piggyback on the area-wide projects. So they are not being ranked, is that what I'm hearing?
No, they are, all projects will be ranked. So the area-wides, because they did not provide specific locations, you only get the base points of the work mix. So they're all being ranked.
So can you repeat that question again?
So if we can get them off the area-wide list, then they have the potential of, you know, getting greater scores.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So if you can break out those area-wides into distinct and discrete segments, that would help us greatly whenever we put it into the tool, because it's just not this whole area-wide, which we can't put into the tool. And Carrie showed you on our website the list of area-wide. So if you want it, if you look through your maps and you're like, wait, there's some missing projects, go to that link, the first link, and it'll show you all the area-wide projects that are ranked, but with the understanding that they're only getting those base points based on the work mix. I'm getting quiet. Christine, you sure?
Yes, I'm
all right. Well, thank you so much. And once again, thank you for being such great partners and in getting us the information that we need to make this successful. So stay tuned on everything.